lift off and the clock has started.
And welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 286, recording March 18th, 2024. My name is Zach Anderson, and this week we're going to be discussing some PS5 Pro leaks, perhaps. A brand new cinematic universe gracing our airwaves. And, you know, we'll figure out the rest as we go along. To do this, I have with me, as always, Shannon Faith Amagora Moore.
Whoa, what's up? That was aggressive.
Sorry. I can't say it quietly.
it's good. I had my birthday this last weekend. I made it another revolution around the sun, so I'm pretty stoked about that. You know, I was talking to Justin about it earlier. I was like, gone are the days where I actually like want to go out and like party hard. I want to stay at home and I want to keep it chill. Thank you very much, Zach, for being the people who came over to hang out with me and celebrate. That is the exact amount of people I want at a party. Like seven. Like that's a good number. Like anything
including your family.
Seven. Yeah. Yes. Seven. So it was the actual birthday day. We went up to my parents' house. I got to sit in a hot tub for a little bit, and then I ate a crap ton of food. None of it was corned beef and cabbage, which made me very, very happy. I know it disappoints everybody else.
Hold that thought, because I have a funny story after that. After I introduce our other co-host, Justin, Disc Jockey Carter.
It's your boy. Yeah, I went, so my dad he's gotten into frisbee golf. Or disc golf, I guess it's called that. I think if you say frisbee golf, I think you get like glared at by the other like ASU kids and stuff that are
playing. By the other nerds. Yeah.
Yeah. So he took me out for the first time to like play, and he's like, yeah, you know, cause he plays, his brother, I guess, plays, and his brother's friends are like actual like pro, disc golf people. So he's been learning over like the course of the last like year and a half or whatever, and plays up there, with him. And so he's like, yeah, you know, you want to go play and check it out? And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, you know, sounds like fun. So we went out and I'm like, okay, like how do I throw it? Like, what's the technique? Like, what am I supposed to do? And he's like showing me and telling me all this stuff. I'm like, all right, cool. So first throw, I let it rip. And he was like, are you fucking serious? And I'm like, what? And he's like, dude, like it went perfectly straight. He's like, dude, like I just showed you 5 minutes ago. He's like, I've been playing a year and a half. And he just explained over the course of 10 minutes, like what I'm supposed to do. And he's like, that was like a beautiful throw. And he was like getting so mad the entire time we were playing, because he's like, you make it look so fucking effortless. And he's like throwing his shit off over here or whatever. And I asked him at one point, I was like, dude, can I just like throw it however? Like, it doesn't really matter, right? As long as it goes in the thing. He's like, yeah, like there's no real rules. So I like threw it vertically, like the frisbee like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Some like weird spin on it from like 14 feet away, and it went in. And he's like, I don't have shit to say like that. He's like, I'm fucking done. And so like the past couple days, I've been looking up like YouTube videos on like pro techniques and whatever. So next time, dude, I'm going to dunk on him so fucking hard. Like, he's not even know what happened. He's going to be like, dude, what the fuck? I'm just like, yeah, this is my second time playing. Like, I don't know, where I have like 100 hours like of YouTube video knowledge under my book going into the next match.
I was
going
to say, let it be known that on March 18th, Justin became a pro disc golfer.
Yeah, right?
You know, the journey begins right here.
I found my calling.
Your dad's reaction sounds like me playing real golf. Like, just like I watch Shannon take a swing and I'm like, fuck all of this. Throw my clubs away.
I'm thinking about playing disc golf and my shoulder is like voluntarily jumping off of my body. It's just like, nope, like you do that, I'm done with you. Like, I am not going to be part of your body anymore if you go out there and play disc golf. So, yeah. Good for you.
But see, our boy found his calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my shoulder was a little sore the next day, but not that bad. You know, I think, you know, you got 10 years on me of wear and tear, so give it some time.
Yeah, it's been some hard living in the shoulder.
Sleeping in those bushes on your right side.
As,
pretty much.
As Indiana Jones would say, it's not the years, it's the mileage. but yes, going back to the corned beef and cabbage. So Steph's mom owns a deli, and every year she makes corned beef and cabbage for the deli and brings over, or tries to bring us over, a ton of it. For mm-hmm. us to eat. We've kind of put the clamps on that over the years because I got wise to the fact that it's just what didn't sell at the deli, so it would just show up here by like way too much. And it's like, so I have a problem when someone's like, hey, here, you throw this away.
Mm-hmm.
And which is basically what was happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find out we're going to go to Shannon's and have dinner for his birthday. And Steph's like, oh, well, let's bring corned beef and cabbage. And I'm like, no, no, we do not do that. And she's like, why? Like, he hates corned beef and cabbage. And she's like, what? No. It's St. Patrick's Day. I'm like, yeah. And he had to have that shit for his birthday every year and grew to hate it and despise it. And so, no, I am not showing up with corned beef and cabbage, like the one dish he hates. And she's just like, no, I don't believe that. I'm like, you call him. Call him and ask him if you think I'm lying. Like,
thank you for doing me that solid, because yeah. I would really hate to ruin that friendship when, like, I see this corned beef and cabbage show up and I just flip it right.
Yeah, you're a good friend.
she like refused to believe that Shannon despises corned beef and cabbage. I'm like, I don't want to tell you, the man hates it. Like, so.
Imagine if you didn't know, and then like the tray of it with like 10 candles comes out and you're just sitting there staring at it.
I would have, I might have just, you know, had an involuntary reaction to just like push it away, like just shove it. But yeah, that would have been all bad. So yes, thank you.
I jumped on that grenade for you.
I appreciate it. The wings that we had were good. Like they're very good. Made me happy.
They were very good. I zero complaints on the wings and thangs, mm-hmm. if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so another year older, you went around the sun and only looked like you went kind of through it at the same time.
I know, right?
So I'll take that as a positive.
Yeah. Yep. Updated some important things, you know, like wills and things like that. So, you know,
medical information, all that fun stuff.
You know, all those things you start to think about when you hit like your mid 40s and you're just like, oh, shit, I'm closer to death than I am life now.
Yeah. When doctor's visits start to involve lubricant, you begin to question things.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's all it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every doctor visit involves a follow-up appointment a week later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're not quite there yet. It's like, you know, now it's, you know, 6 months. I'll take the 6 month marker right now.
See, I'm at that Louis C.K. bit where about his hurts the ankle and, you know, the doctor's like, oh, just do these stretches. He's like, okay, great. For how long? And he's like, no, that's just what you do now.
Yeah, forever.
Just go. You go live your life with your shitty ankle. Like, that's where I'm at. I've hit that stage in my life.
Yeah, I walk through the Home Depot parking lot and I see like all these people that are just like walking like stiff legged because like their knee cartilage is gone or, you know, something. And I was like, wow, I wonder what they did to get that. And some people are just like, I stepped on something funny one day and like this is my life now. And I'm just like, bro, no.
Dude, you talk to me on a weekly basis. Like, this is my life.
I didn't use the shoehorn one time.
Yeah.
This is what it cost me.
Everything. But yes. Anything happening out in the world? I saw that IGN says the PS5 Pro specs have leaked. And so people have been assuming we're getting that this year. And then, I mean, it's essentially just a faster CPU and GPU, and there's going to be better ray tracing and upscaling, blah, 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 blah. You know, like little increases. but they'll be able to sell you a whole new box, kind of like they did the last time with the PS4 Pro.
It's just funny. It's such a bold move because it's like, to play what? Like, what are you selling me this new console to play?
And that's kind of, well, I mean, there's what, Rise of the Ronin coming out, right?
Like, sure. Like, I guess.
But yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And it's weird to me that they would come, you know, this comes on the heels of them announcing that they've stopped production of the PSVR 2 because there's too much sitting in the supply line.
So sorry, Jordan.
Yeah. So they're not making anymore until they sell through what they have, which means they'll probably never make another one. It's weird to me because, like, to your point, who buys this? People that already have PS5s? Like, if you have a launch day PS5, it's what, almost 4 years old by the time this comes out. Maybe you want the new one? Maybe?
No.
Yes. Like, no.
This is where an audio format is a bummer, because I asked that question and both of you just stared at me dumbfounded.
It's because I couldn't imagine even launch day, like, I don't even, like, how much wear and tear does it have? Like, I don't, that one person that spent like 400 hours on Cyberpunk on it or something, like.
I mean, over the course of its life, it's had some games, it's had some, you know, I mean, you've had God of War, Final Fantasy VII, you've had Elden Ring, you've had Cyberpunk, you've had games, you know, it's not like it's been sitting there not being played. Jesus.
I know. It was just funny, like, that, like, you're like Final Fantasy, and that came out like 2 weeks ago.
The first, I mean, look, Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Dude, that's how long it's been. Yeah. I forgot there's a part one.
Look, I'll tell you, like, I don't think there's enough games that are pushing the boundaries of technology to where this half a step is needed. Like, I mean, like, I understand with, like, the PlayStation 3, like, having multiple iterations, because that thing lasted like 10 years and right. like the tech sure. span from the beginning to end. Yeah. You needed that to keep up with the technology of people putting out these games.
And arguably the 4 as well, because the 4 also had what, 8 years.
I mean, it had a good long run. Like, but I feel like for some reason the 3 was a more substantial leap in technology than 4. Like, mm-hmm. I think it was kind of, you know, 4 wasn't as potent. But, like, I think here, like, things have been kind of stagnant, right? Like, and we're not really sure which, you know, what is going to be that system seller, right? Like, I mean, we already have really fast load times with a solid state hard drive now. You know, the graphics are phenomenal already. Like, I mean, the only people who are going to buy this are going to be like the kids who are getting into the gaming market, and like, you know, and like right now, right? Like, this is going to be their first console. That's fine. You're not going to sell massive amounts of units, and like, I would much rather have, you know, probably maybe saved like 1,000 people's jobs to, you know, make video games other than make a console that nobody's going to buy or like very limited people are going to buy. But, you know, sure. Like, let's do this. Like, I mean, do you think this signifies that they're closing the lifespan of the PlayStation 5 sooner rather than later? Like, do you think they're going to put this at like an 8-year mark and then move on to the PlayStation 6?
Oh, see, that seems way too long to me. I my bet is you get PlayStation 6 stuff or whatever the next system is by 2026. That would be my guess.
Go up against the Nintendo Switch 2.
Yeah, everyone's waiting for the Switch 2 to actually get announced. Like, all right, now we need the next one.
No. My guess is you might see the next Xbox in 2025. Because I think, you know, they've said essentially they're making another one. It's not going to be a half step. If they do a half step, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's like, you've already lost this one. This one's gone, right? But I could see them trying to use the 360 playbook of, like, we launch a year early. We get out in front of them, right? And we drop some bangers, we drop some heat, and then we get a foothold, and then we go. That's how they won the 360 generation. They got out a year before the PS3.
But they had games.
well, there's no games coming out now, and they bought a shitload of studios.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, I mean, like,
so my thing is, if you're Microsoft and you drop the next Xbox that has all the specs, right? And the Forza and the Gears and whatever the next Halo project is, all within the one calendar year, like, all of a sudden you got a ball game. Right. I'm not saying it's a winning strategy. I'm just saying it's a ball game. It's better than what they got right now. Mm-hmm. And that, if anything, I think them saying they're releasing a PS5 Pro means Sony's kind of okay going status quo for a while. Where Xbox coming out and saying, no, we're not doing that. We're making the next one. Yeah.
But you come out with the next one, right? And you're basically maybe a year or two behind in technology. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think that opens you up to get dunked on by, like, PlayStation when they come out with their console that's 2 years later down the road?
Maybe, but that's the risk you're taking. Mm-hmm. You know, that you're taking on that risk to try to gain traction, right? Because then when, say, 2027, they release the PS6, your Xbox has been in the market for 2 years, hopefully releasing bangers and getting people to buy in. And now in 2028, you release your pro model that is competitive.
I see that. But, like, if you are in the Xbox or if you're in the Microsoft ecosystem, why not just stick to the PC and just.
People like hooking shit up to their TV, dude. I mean,
not me anymore, what? Bro. Like, I'll tell you, 44, I don't want anything hooked up to my TV.
I mean, people do. People want to sit on the couch with a controller in their hand. You know, like, I do. I still want that. I could run an HDMI cable from my where my computer is to my TV, but I don't want to. It just sounds like a pain in the ass. I want to push the X button on my controller or the PlayStation button on my controller and sit down and have a day.
Sit in my Sherpa chair, kick my feet up, and load up some Persona.
Exactly.
All right.
Now, if anything, I could see Microsoft doing a Steam Deck style thing before I see them doing, like, a full, you know, Xbox PC type thing. So, or who knows? Maybe you just make you go, you know. You go full bore with it instead of what they had this time around, where it's like, it's a square box. It looks like a fridge. Ha ha ha. It's like, no, it's actually just a PC that runs a really scaled down, you know, like, big picture mode version of Windows. Mm-hmm. And you can do whatever you want to it. I can see them going that way too, but it'll be interesting to see. I just don't know who the PS5 Pro is for at this point.
But that's the thing, is PlayStation continually does things that aren't for anybody, right? I mean, we constantly bag on that VR. And, you know, I'm glad Jordan likes it a lot. But, like, I mean, like you said, it's not moving units, right? Like, they did the same thing with, like, the Vita. That wasn't a system sell. I mean, that didn't sell a lot of units either. Like, I think PlayStation, you know, just...
Ironically enough, it feels like if they brought the Vita back almost as it was right now, it would be a better market than when they originally released it.
I mean, if you bring the Vita back with, like, the capabilities of that streaming thing that they recently put out, and, like, put that at a price tag that was like $299, you'd be selling it like gangbusters.
Yeah. But, you know, Sony is also coming from a place of total market domination, and people will buy it because it's the next PlayStation. I mean, we talk about this with Nintendo all the time, dude, like, all the time. They're releasing a 15-year-old DS game remake on the Switch and selling that shit for full price. And me and Justin both were like, huh, Luigi's Mansion 2, maybe I need to pick that up. No, I don't. What am I talking about? I'm stupid. Like, you were charging me full price for a 15-year-old game. What is wrong with me? You know, like.
And yeah. Even worse is they're like, here's this GameCube game from 2001. And I'm like, Mom, I need $70.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're re-releasing something? I know exactly how it ends. And the whole story? Rad. Can't wait to play it. Like, what is I'm the problem. Like, me. I am the problem. It just, yeah. This is the part. And see, this goes back to the part of the equation we were talking about last week, where it's like, where is the industry even going? No one seems to know. Because those are the games that are like making waves. There's nothing new hotness coming down the pipe where people are like, oh, that's what we need to do. That's the code. They cracked it. No, the code seems to be like, hey, Capcom, keep making old Resident Evil games. And Nintendo, keep crapping out old Mario games. Please don't make anything new. Just sell me my childhood again. That's all I want to give you money for. And it's like, that's the problem. That's a big problem.
And I feel like a lot of that is just like, it's because I feel like they already know it's going to be a success in terms of like, dude, sure, this was already a 9 out of 10 game. Like, it's not like we're going to remake it and it's going to be all of a sudden like a 7. It's like, it's going to sell. We know there's a market for it because we sold a bunch of it already before 10 years ago. So right. It's like an easy investor pitch to get like the go ahead. We're like, look, we could work on like a Persona 6, or we could remake the most beloved one in the series again and sell it for $70 with like an ultra edition for $120. And they're like, yeah, do that. Do that.
Yeah, because that's the safe bet. And that's, I mean, what we're talking about right now is people lining their coffers with things that we will buy to make games that eventually, you know, are new IPs that may become beloved franchises, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm all for them taking like these, you know, steps to, you know, make sure that they're safe financially. So, you know, I don't see a problem with that. But yeah, I do understand like where you guys are coming from as far as, you know, going back to that well of beloved childhood memories. But
well, I mean, it's tough though, right? Because like, hey, guess what? The Steam sale's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Guess what I now own on every platform I can? It's Titanfall 2, because the Ultimate Edition was $2.99. I own Titanfall 2 in literally every format it's been released in. What's wrong That's with awesome. Me? That's my so, problem. Like,
so, so Justin has Skyrim. You have yeah. Titanfall 2. I want to know. I'm anxious to find out what mine's going to be.
Heavenly Sword. It's only released one.
Yeah, I was going to say, they got to remake it on everything before I can buy it on everything.
But it's like, you know, there's no reason for that. I don't know why. It was the Ultimate Edition was $2.99. And I went, yeah, all right.
Like that was fucking dope.
Oh, totally. And I'm like, you know, and I made up some bullshit reason about playing it on my Steam Deck to justify it to myself. And it's like, will I ever install it? I don't know, but I own it now. Like,
the option is there. You're like, you know what? You're like, dude, you can't even get a Venti Frappuccino from Starbucks for this much.
Yeah.
I'm getting Titanfall 2.
And I'm getting 9 hours of sheer joy. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, right? Right? But I don't know, man. Like, purchasing decisions and gaming public are just, like, so weird. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
It never will, because it's just, it's there, I don't know. It's just, you remember that good time you had with that game. And, like, you go back to buy it, because you will have that same exact great time with that game again.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, like, there's a reason I've played Super Mario Brothers 3 probably more times than any game I've ever played, right? Because every time I fire it up, even though the muscle memory's there and I know exactly what to do and I know exactly where to go or, you know, blah, 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 I still love doing it. I still love watching it every time. Like, something triggers in my brain where all the serotonin fires and I'm like, ah, oh, that's the stuff. Oh, yeah, right there. You know, but at the same time, there's so many games getting released all the time. I think that's the other side of the coin, is like, there's so much like I saw a thing where it was like the new releases on Steam, it's something like 40 games a day or something like that are getting released to Steam. And that's impossible. That's just impossible to even, you know, see what's there, let alone, you know, dig through and find the gems that are going to be good and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, you know what? I'm not going to spend the time doing that. You know what I will do? Play Titanfall 2 again, because I know that's good.
Like 25 of those 40s have the word hentai in the title somewhere. So.
Or MILF.
Or visual, both. Visual novel, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, it's weird, man.
It
is. I don't know how we got on that from PS5 Pro specs leaking, but here we are.
I mean, that's the joy of the show, is you never know which direction we're going to go.
Usually it always ends up with, man, fuck, I don't know.
So much knowledge. And then, fuck it. I don't know. We'll see.
Speaking of fuck it, I don't know. Should we go by the trailer park?
Oh, hey, guys. I mean, it's been a while. You haven't seen me in a minute. But, like, you know, you guys are always so scared to stop by. I figured I'd give you a reason. I mean, I've heard murmurings of something called the Twisted Childhood Universe. I thought you'd come in here and take a look at it. I mean, don't mind the decor. It might be a little creepy just because I've been doing some decorating for the whole thing. But, you know, blood on the wall is definitely fake. Don't worry about that. That oh, and that corner over there with the dismembered body parts, don't look at that either. That's I'm acting. I'm trying for a new part in one of these movies. I think there's a Pinocchio one that's perfect for me. I'm gonna give it a try. But why don't you sit down and watch these trailers with me, guys?
Well, all right, Justin, why don't you pull up a seat? He made it sound real friendly this time.
Come here, Justin. Sit right next to me.
I think it's safe.
Dude, this chair smells like gasoline and urine.
Oh, maybe don't sit down. Just
I'm gonna stand, but thank you.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I may let me go get some popcorn. You just watch these trailers. So what the hell is this? Like, so
yeah, Justin, I was gonna say you need to walk us through this because.
Okay, so I haven't watched. I still have not watched the first one, but now that I know there's an entire universe being built around it, I kind of feel like I have to dive into it at some point. So, the production company, Jagged Edge Productions, who made such hits as Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and the new releasing Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, came out today saying that they are building an entire universe around these movies. This, like, Winnie the Pooh is essentially this company's Iron Man. And now they've created the Twisted Childhood Universe, and they announced that such hits are coming down the pipeline, like Bambi, The Reckoning, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, Pinocchio Unstrung, and all of this is building to an Avengers-level movie called Pooniverse, Monsters Assemble. Which
Pooniverse.
I almost want a shirt that just says Pooniverse on it now. Get that shit trademarked as quickly as you can, because man, like I respect them for having the balls to take like some like $40 budget Winnie the Pooh horror movie and just completely like build out like an MCU level event around, you know. I didn't even realize, I guess Peter Pan and Bambi, and I'm assuming these other movies also have to be up for public domain, like, otherwise.
You would assume they'd have to be, right?
Yeah, I find it weird that, like, Steamboat Willie isn't, like, you know, a part of their universe, but that might be, like, the Thanos at the end of the universe, though.
Yeah, everybody's got to take down the big mouth at the end.
Yeah, he's like, oh!
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Here I go murdering again, fellas.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This will never come out of these pants.
Do it myself.
But yeah, these movies I haven't
seen. Okay, so out of the list, And again, let me go down again. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, Bambi, The Reckoning, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, Pinocchio, Unstrung, and Pooniverse, Monsters Assemble. What's your favorite title?
I mean, Bambi, The Reckoning. I need to see that movie.
See, for me, it's kind of Pinocchio, Unstrung. I like it's the only one that seems like an adult title out of the whole list.
It reminds me of like a child. Was it Child's Play or something like that? Like it just going to be like just Chucky against Pinocchio.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. Pooniverse Monsters Assemble, though, like that's a pretty good title. And the fact that it looks like the Avengers font is like the icing on the cake.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. This is some grade A marketing here, but
Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare needs work.
Yeah, that seems like the one where they're like, we need one more movie to fill the spot, and they just kind of threw that in there.
That seems like fucking American McGee's Peter Pan or something. You know what I mean? Where they were like, it's so basic. Neverland Nightmare.
Well, and the Peter Pan font on the top straight up looks like they went into Google and typed in what is Olive Garden's font and just slapped that on top.
Peter Pan, when you're here, you're family.
Dude, I will say, like, in terms of like horror, like these being horror movies, I almost think Peter Pan's like the scale, like the fact some random dude coming into your window and taking your kids to like a faraway island where they're never going to be seen again, like that radiates horror movie energy in my eyes.
Peter Pan is terrifying, 100%. Like, I'm going to come in at night and steal your children. Like, oh, okay, great. This is, and he's the good guy? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe we all should be, giving Captain Hook a little more credit. I don't know. Like, but I could see where this is going to be a must watch for Justin. And probably friend of the show Steve. I don't know if I've got it.
And Jordan. Yeah. You know Jordan's gonna be there day one.
Day one. I don't know if I have it in me to do this one, guys. I don't know. I might have to see the Pooniverse just to see what it is, but Shannon, are you in for the Pooniverse?
No, I mean, I don't know. Like, you give me a Four Loko, I'm down for anything. But on my own, this is one of those ones like I'll let other people watch it first and then go from there.
He'll listen to it in the spoiler zone and form his opinions there.
Yes,
pretty much. I mean, they're movies like, see, this is the thing, is like there is a market for movies that are like so bad that they're funny, or like mm-hmm. that, you know, like people can find the joy in that, and like I am just not one of those people. Like I made it through The Room, and like I got to watch that and experience that, but like as far as going to see movies that are bad for the joy of their badness, I can't do it.
It takes a special constitution to do that. I agree. Speaking of bad things that maybe don't look good, Shannon,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if Justin's quite old enough to have this conversation, but I can have it with you.
Okay.
The Crow.
Hmm.
Yeah. That trailer dropped for the remake. Is it a remake or is it just a new Crow movie? I mean, at some point, right? Like, that first Crow movie came out like 30 years ago. I don't think they're remaking it at this point. Like, they just make a new Batman movie, right? Like, it's not a remake of Tim Burton's Batman. It's just, we made another Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why people are calling this one a remake of The Crow.
So I watched this trailer for The Crow, and then immediately after watching it, I went on YouTube and watched the original trailer.
Uh-huh.
And this one looks like it is heavily inspired by the original. Like, this does not seem like it's a, which I didn't even realize there was already like four of these Crow movies.
There's not.
Yeah, there is. According to Wikipedia,
No, there's not. We're going to not talk about
it. Looks like Tara Reid or someone's in like the fucking fourth one. Because I've only seen the first two, and it was a long time ago.
Have you not heard about Crow 4 and me and Shannon and our group of friends? Has this never come up?
I think it has.
I might have purged it.
Yeah. I think he's protected himself.
It was a DVD that made the rounds and became like a cursed object in our group of friends. Basically, like, you got it when someone was mad at you, I want to say.
Or it was like if somebody had like a white elephant Secret Santa, like you were guaranteeing that was going to pop up.
Like, it looked really bad. Like, it looked terrible.
Well, and the director for the first movie has come on basically saying, like, he's like, I'm never going to talk bad about anyone's art, but yeah, I didn't really see the point of doing this. And I'm like, so you did just talk bad about it. You didn't say it was good. You know, it happens time and again when like things happen like this. And I'm like, you know, this is just not for me. They're making a new Crow movie for the shitty teenagers now. Not the shitty teenager I was 30 years ago. You know what I mean? It's like, I had that movie. I have that movie. I watched that movie. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. This one isn't for me. This isn't my movie.
Yeah, I don't remember the original Crow being like this melodramatic. I knew it was always like a revenge movie.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, everything about this just screams just Twilight grown up. And
it's also way bloodier. Like, mm-hmm. You see a dude get a shotgun blast to the face. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's the scene where he's walking up the stairs and he's just getting like obliterated with bullets, and there's just like blood everywhere. But he's just like, "Yep, I'm just gonna play this off here."
Now, does the bad guy in the movie say "caw caw bang fuck I'm dead"? Because I might be back in if that happens. It's the best moment in the whole first Crow movie. Quick impression for you: caw caw bang fuck I'm dead. The first comment I saw on the trailer on YouTube sums it up with, like, in the first movie, Eric looks like he plays guitar in Nine Inch Nails. This Eric looks like he has a page on SoundCloud. It made me laugh.
You know, I mean, it's funny because, like, those Skarsgård brothers, it's like one of them gets like quality movies and the other one just takes whatever falls on the floor. And it just looks like one of those that just fell on the floor.
They're the new Baldwins.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like one of them's out there winning Oscars and then there's Steven being like, hey, I can play idiot number three. You know, but yeah, I can't imagine I'll see that movie.
You'll see it. You just won't see it in theaters.
No, I'm pretty good at avoiding movies these days.
You're going to see it when I gift it to you on Amazon Prime for Christmas.
You think I'm going to push play on that?
No, but it'll sit there. Going to be there every single time you open up your Amazon Prime again.
You're going to come over and Shannon's just going to put it on every single time until you watch it.
Eh? Eh?
Now, what is Atlas?
Wow. So it is a Jennifer Lopez made for Netflix movie.
Okay.
It looks like it's some kind of weird futuristic planet side kind of sci-fi joint. Like you don't really see a lot. You see her with a bloody nose. She wakes up. She's in like a mech. She's free falling to the planet. Like, she's trying to figure out how to stop it. There's more action sequences that are cut in with her running through explosions in a mech and fighting things. But I didn't really see much of any substance there that told me what this movie was about. Justin, do you have any more information on it?
No. I think the trailer kind of, I'm assuming intentionally, is just showing you what I'm assuming is honestly probably like the first like 15 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks like she's essentially just like in a mech, lands on a planet and is trying to, I'm assuming, get off said planet. And I'm assuming there's probably going to be some alien type thing that she's fighting. But, you know, I'm always down for a good mech movie. Whether or not this is a good mech movie remains to be seen. But, you know, I think it looked, I thought it looked all right. Like, it's one of those where, you know, I would hover over it on Netflix and watch like the 2 minute preview. Yeah, the 2 minute preview, let it play out to see if I actually want to click play or not on it. But
all right. I mean, I would much rather talk about the other mech movie that I think it was who put it in? Was it Dan or was it who was it that put it into our movie chat? But The Wild Robot. I don't know if we talked about it last week. But that movie looks dope.
I saw that one.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I don't think I saw that one either.
Really? Here, let me see. Let me copy the link.
I'm in our chat. Hold on.
Hold on. Here, I'll put it in the chat here.
Oh yeah, it's like way up there. It was from like March 5th.
There, you can check it out. It's
and it was Bones that put it in.
There it is. But yeah, so that movie looks fucking insane. Like, I want to watch that movie. It looks like it's gonna be like one of those like tear-jerking, like hard movies to watch. Like, you know, there'll be some hard questions I gotta answer for my kid, but ultimately I think it's a very visually stunning movie. It looks like it's going to have a reward at the end for your emotional distress that you'll be put through. But it looks cool. It's made by the people who made How to Train Your Dragon, so my wife is already in on that since those are like her three favorite movies. So yeah, I'm all on board. That thing looks great.
So is this like, you know, the reclaimed Earth, and it's like a robot that randomly comes back online?
And well,
like reclaimed Earth or
towards the end of it, you start hearing more human voices about like, you know, like, you know, we have to do better, like basically be better and do better. So it kind of seems like there's humans on Earth, but like they're not really like out in the environment. It kind of seems like the robot is supposed to be like the scout to kind of be like a liaison for like scouring the planet to see if it's, you know, viable for people to come back, or I don't know. The story is unclear, but like it seems like, you know, the animals go from being terrified of him to being happy he's there pretty fast.
This looks like freaking Wall-E, like 4.0.
Yeah, it's DreamWorks Wall-E.
It kind of reminds me of Wall-E mixed with Iron Giant.
A little bit, yeah. See that, especially in some of the forest scenes, for sure.
Yeah, I get those vibes from it too.
But yeah, I mean, like if you're watching this with like the sound and they're doing like the whole like beautiful world, like, you know, like song over the background of it. I mean, like it looks pretty impressive. And I can't wait for I think this is November is coming out. So we'll be there.
You know, I mean, it was fine, but they really could have used a slow guitar based cover of a popular song instead.
I mean, you know, Metallica's Nothing Else Matters probably would have been pretty good.
I mean, Batman already used Something in the Way from Nirvana, so can't really go back to that well, I guess.
I mean, there was a bunch of movies there for a while that did that, and I can't even tell you like what movies.
There were so many of them. Mm-hmm. It was usually a gender swapped, slowed down acoustic guitar based version of a very popular song, and and now it's sad bastard music for some reason. why are we doing this? All right, so I guess we'll talk about a little what we've been playing. Guess what, it's all the same stuff.
I'll tell you what, I tried to play Wizard with a Gun on my Steam Deck. And I was a little disappointed because it said that it was Steam Deck. You could play it on the Steam Deck. It wasn't like a verified one. It didn't have the green check mark, but it had the yellow eye basically saying, you know, there are elements of this game that may be compromised by playing it on a smaller screen, mainly.
But it should work, right?
Yeah, but it should work. Like smaller text, you know, the keyboard, you might have to bring the keyboard up to do some typing, but other than that, like everything else is good. I tried to play that game for like 15 minutes the other night on my Steam Deck and could not get it to get past the title screen.
Oh, that sucks.
So that's a little bit of a bummer. I mean, I'm glad I bought it on sale. It was $14.99, but I really was excited to get into that Devolver Digital game. And now I have to do it when I'm down here on my PC, which is fine. I just, you know, means it's a weekend game for me now. So I went back and played more Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Hey, Justin, you know why Shannon was really upset?
Because he didn't get it on Switch?
No, because he should have just spent the $15 more and got Helldivers 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows it.
No shit. Shrimp Fried Matt's been playing a ton of Helldivers 2, and he's like, I'm genuinely surprised Zach or Shannon isn't playing
it. We had an in-depth conversation this weekend, Justin, that came dangerously close to both of us just pulling out phones and purchasing games.
It's still hard. Like, I mean, yeah. I have birthday money now, right? So it's just like,
exactly. Right. I'm buying
Helldivers. I mean, my in-laws told me buy a Giga. Do you know what a Giga is? A Giga is like something that you buy for yourself that has no like financial value whatsoever, but brings you joy. I'm buying myself a Helldivers Giga.
There you go. Let's do it.
Justin, did you play anything new this week?
Dude, you know what? I actually did. Like, yes, I did. I did play more Persona. I'm in October. It's the full moon. I'm getting ready to go into the next boss fight. I did a shit ton of side quest stuff. I could not imagine playing this game like back in like the PS2 era without like a strategy guide or something like that. Like I have multiple Google tabs open on my phone to constantly look up my, where the fuck is this? Like what do I need to do to complete this? Because I don't want to just waste of my time is very valuable in real life. And both in this game, you know, I can only do so much on certain days. So I need to know, like, is this a feasible thing? But I played some SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated.
So this is like Smash Brothers, right?
No, this is the one. It's a remake of the PS2 game or whatever that came out. It's like a third person kind of, I guess, like action adventure platformer, like collect-a-thon kind of, you know, style game where you play as like SpongeBob. Sometimes you switch to Sandy. I think you play as Patrick as well at like some parts. Megan and I were supposed to play it together. And then Sunday I went over to Matt's to help him put together furniture and stuff since he moved. And Megan booted it up and apparently played all day. And then I came home and she's like, dude, there's these like really hard time challenge things that like I need you to do. So then I came in and like she already had like 36 like gold spatulas or some shit like that. And then last night we were like ready for bed and I was doing some like surfing challenge as Sandy. You have to like surf on this shell and like it's on these little ramps and shit like that. And I kept falling off and I'm like, no, okay, this is the one. Like I'm going to do it. And I'm like standing up at this point doing it. And I finally did it and it unlocked the 50th golden spatula, which unlocked the next area for us to go into. Because I think we're honestly like towards the end of the game. Like I think to get into like the final like area of the game, you need like 75 golden spatulas or something. We're at 50. So I think we're almost there. I think we're a good like 2/3 of the way through the game.
Nice.
But it was a lot of fun. Like it looks nice. Control wise and everything. I mean, it's still like a little janky. Like, you know, it's a PS2 3D adventure game with like a fresh coat of paint on it. So there is still some like, you know, jankiness with it, like control wise and like what like movement wise and stuff. Like it feels like a little stiff at times. Like when I was doing the surfing thing, like taking corners was very scary. Instead of just like completely leaning into it, I'm like doing like tap, 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 tap to like slowly do it. Cause I'm like, dude, if I commit too much to it, I'm going to go flying off and I'm going to get fucking pissed off. So I was like, I'm going to take it slow and steady. But.
Oh, you know what? I forgot. I don't think I talked about this last week. On Game Pass is also Warhammer 40K Bolt Gun. Mm-hmm. And I played that one through just the cloud streaming. And A, works perfect on cloud streaming. B, it's like a Doom or Duke 3D style FPS. And like it has that visual cue to it, but set in the 40K universe. And you're just a space marine. I think you're supposed to be an elite soldier space marine. To be honest, there's not a whole lot of plot happening in this game. It's, hey, here's the goal. Go kill everything between here and that goal. And you're like, great, got it, boss. And you just take off and murder everything in your pathway with a chainsaw or bolt gun or shotgun or whatever you happen to find along the way. There's little secrets you can uncover in every level. The thing, it's incredibly satisfying to play, though. Like, the weapons you use are really, they feel really good. The running and gunning is in that Doom-style mold, so it feels really fast to, like, zip around and, like, strafe left and right and do all that stuff. All those old-school muscle memory moves for first-person shooters kick in, you know? And I love that all the enemies are just dumb as shit. Like, no one's flanking you. No one's doing like tactics on you. Like, when they're fighting, it's like, no, we're just gonna pop out of holes in the walls, and you're gonna murder us, and we're gonna move on with our lives. You know, like it's such a good throwback in that regard. It's really fun, and it moves really fast, and a level doesn't overstay its welcome. You know, you get about 20 minutes in for a level, it tells you the time it took you when you're done and how many enemies are left and all that stuff. And yeah, it's fun. It's fun as hell. It's totally worth a check out on Game Pass if you have interest. So highly recommend it.
Nice.
Dude, yeah. Dude, I'm going to say, dude, Game Pass has been killing it this year. Like, yeah. I've been thrilled to be a Game Pass owner, and like, you know, it's had Persona, and then like, they just announced, like, you know, Persona has like DLC that's coming out in like September, and you know, it's like $30 like DLC, and if you have Game Pass, you get it for free. And not only do you get it for free, you like own it. Like,
that's if you have Game Pass Ultimate, I want to say. Yeah, Game Pass Ultimate for that. But yeah, yes. you're right though,
which I do, but that's cool. Yeah. Like, and I was like, dude, that's awesome, because like, normally that's kind of like, I feel like the gimmick with Game Pass a lot of times is like, oh, you know, like, yeah, we have the game, and then they'll do like a season pass or DLC, whatever, and they'll kind of like try to entice you. It's like, okay, cool, yeah, and then you can pay the $29.99 and then do whatever with this. So it's like, yeah, you got the, and then you feel like, okay, well, you know, I'm getting to play the game for free. So it's like, yeah, dude, for the $30, like, whatever, I'll buy the season pass and do whatever with it. But so I was shocked that they were like, oh yeah, here's this standalone story DLC that is completely free to you, and because you're a Game Pass person, it's like, awesome, like, sign me up.
And the new MLB 2K24 just dropped, and my son's super jazzed about that.
Hellblade 2 comes out in May.
Yeah, got some.
I hear they changed some of the mechanics in MLB 24 this year to make it more like the swings and like hitting was a little bit easier for people to get into.
Oh, really? I'm gonna have to check that out. He just downloaded it today, so I'm not sure he's even fired it up. But yeah,
yeah. Let me know how that is, because I've always wanted to get into like one of those games, but I've always been afraid to, just because they like kind of like Madden. Like, I kind of feel like you needed to get into those like on the ground floor, and if you missed any iteration, you were just hosed. And like with Madden, it feels like that's really the case there. But it seems like with MLB, they're trying to make it a lot more accessible. So I would be interested to hear your take on that.
Well, if you ever want to get the living crap kicked out of you by a 10-year-old, I'll have my son bring you up.
Awesome.
Yeah, because he plays it so much that anytime it's like, hey, do you want to play hockey or Madden or MLB? And it's one of those things where I'm like, do I just want to boost your confidence up? Because you're going to beat the hell out of me. Like, there's no point in me actually trying to play this game, but yeah. It's usually business decisions getting made at that point. Well, all right. Do we have spoilers? Do we have sirens?
I hear some sirens.
All right. I'm going to ask you to tread lightly on the first one you have on this list, Justin, which is Invincible Season 2 has started back up. Mm-hmm. I have not had a chance to watch Episode 5 yet.
Dude, and you know what? I won't say really anything about it except for the fact that I feel like it kind of stealth released. Like, it came mm-hmm. out. Nobody was talking about that shit. Like, super on Twitter, weird, right? Anything. Super weird. Like, I had no idea it even came out until I literally saw a Twitter post where someone's like, dude, no one's fucking talking about Invincible. Like, doing a couple month like hiatus on it, like, killed apparently like all the momentum everybody had for the show because no one was talking about it.
It was out for literally days.
Not even like,
oh, I didn't realize that came out today. It's like, wait, that came out last week? Like, by the time I discovered it.
Yeah, like, I think, oh yeah, I was sitting down on the couch with Zach and we turned on the TV to watch a movie and like it popped up and I was like, no shit.
Yeah, okay. Dude, like, I guess everyone. We
do this soon.
Nobody knew that came out. And so initially I was like, yeah, you know, maybe like, cause I was kind of in the same boat. Like, I'm like, man, like, you know, it's been 3 months. I'm like, should I just wait like a couple weeks and then the last fucking four episodes will be out and I can just watch them all. But then I ended up watching it and now I'm right back in. I don't know how they do it. I thought I was out and then I watched it and I'm like, God damn it. Like, now I need to wait another week for the next episode.
So you're saying they picked up, they did a good job getting you back, like getting you interested in what's going to happen.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They sucked you right back in, Shannon.
So, was there a prologue before it to like get you like caught up on what was going on, or do you have to like,
no, they
watch them again.
They did do like, I think if I remember correctly, they did do like a little recap type mm-hmm. thing that you could either skip through or whatever, but since it'd been 3 months, I watched the recap and I'm like, cause it's like, you know, I remember, you know, some of like what happened, like, but I'm like, couldn't really remember a lot of like the first two episodes. I'm like, oh yeah. Cause there's so many threads going on. And it's like, you know, like any given episode, like, okay, we're going to focus on like this thread right now. And then it's like, oh yeah, that's right. This shit's also going on. I'm like, I don't remember who the fuck these people are that we like saw for 10 minutes in episode 2. And then we never went back to them. And it's like, okay, yeah, this is also happening. And this is happening. And, you know, Mark's mom's a sad alcoholic still. Like, yeah, I forgot about that. So, but it was a good episode. Definitely recommend. I can't believe there's only like 3 episodes left.
Ugh. And then how long is it going to be before season 3 comes out?
I mean, they're already working on season 3 right now. As far as I know, like from what I've heard, like voice acting wise, like all that shit's already been recorded for season 3. Like they're, I think, just animating it like at this point and stuff. So I feel like it should, I'd imagine it comes out like probably about this time again, like next year. Since it'll already like, they're already doing it right now. It'll be done. And hopefully they don't.
Hopefully with no 6-week break in between. Yeah.
And that's like the weirdest thing is it's not like they took a six week break to be like, oh yeah, you know, like we're working on like the last 4 episodes. They're like, all this shit was already done. Like all the episodes are done. Like there was no need for the break, like outside of, I don't know, like what, maybe not going against the Oscars or Grammys or like what, yeah, I don't fucking know. Like it's just weird decisions were made that
it's almost like just delay the start of it 6 weeks if you didn't have time, if you needed the 6 weeks to wrap it all up,
just right,
delay it.
Yeah, but
I don't know. Yeah, who knows.
I watched it's still ongoing. There's a couple episodes left, but I was telling Shannon, I fully recommend Shannon watches it. And, you know, I think Zach would enjoy it too, even though I know he's not, you know, a big anime person. He has Blue Eye Samurai under mm-hmm. his belt. Mm-hmm. It's on HBO Max. It's called Ninja Kamui, K-A-M-U-I. It's been on my watch list for a while. Like, and then every time like a new episode of it comes out, it's always like number two or number three or whatever on the top of HBO Max. And I'm like, man, like it looks really cool, but I just hadn't watched. And I sat down the other night and started watching it. And I blew through all five episodes and I was like, well, fuck. Like, now I have to wait. And when I tell you that it is anime John Wick with ninjas, that is verbatim, like 100% what it is. Like, it is blow for blow John Wick, but with ninjas.
I mean, I won't lie, that perks my ears.
Yes.
I'm like, huh?
Yeah, so is it more like a Sisu John Wick kind of thing, or is it more like, I mean, is it more like, because we've kind of compared a lot of things to John Wick, and I feel there's like a sliding scale of John Wickness. Is it more like,
it just keep happening, doesn't it?
Yeah, is it just more of like crazy ass fighting and like maybe like blood, but it's more like justified, or is it more like Sisu where it's like gratuitous blood and violence, but there's also like the John Wickness of it all?
So let me break it down for you. Like, let me give you a general synopsis here. So essentially, ninjas existed in Japan and stuff, and then it came a time where they opened up like their ninjutsu arts or whatever to like outsiders and stuff, and they kind of expanded all around the world. And this dude was like one of the top ninjas, whatever, in like his clan, whatever. He had a trio, like him and then two people like Naruto, whatever, like in his squad. And the chick in his squad, they fell in love, but they weren't allowed to, because of the ninja code and whatever, they couldn't be together. So they ended up leaving and like running away together. And then, but once you do that, you're essentially like excommunicado, whatever, you're like exiled, and they like hunt you down to kill you because they don't want your like information leaking, your ninja art shit being revealed. So in the first episode, you know, he's living out like on some farm in like, I don't know, fucking like BFE Montana somewhere or something, and he has his wife and his kid and his whatever. Well, like a group of high-tech looking ninjas come and absolutely butcher his wife and his kid. They kill him, but he survives. And then he
I think that means they didn't kill him.
Yeah. So no, he did technically die. So that is the thing.
Okay. Like, you understand my confusion.
No, I know. He was technically pronounced dead and then woke up, which you will find out about that in later on, like what actually happened and how he survived later on. But he was legitimately dead. Like, he got stabbed in the neck like 3 times and then through the chest with a sword. So he was straight up dead, but then he came back and, you know, he fucking broke out of concrete in his wall the box of his old shit from his old life and opened it, and he had the fucking demon mask and whatever, and then torched his house and left and vowed to fucking kill everybody in this like ninja association for them murdering his wife and kid.
Wow. So literally, no, John Wick.
Literally, okay. John Wick. Like, yeah, okay. Like, some of the shots, I'm like when he's breaking the wall to get his box, I'm like, that is John Wick in the basement doing whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and then there's like a scene where he's like on like a cell phone doing like the call, and he's like, I'm coming for you, like breaks the fucking phone and shit. Like, there's multiple, like, I'm like, dude, this is just John Wick. And then there's like detectives investigating this kind of shit on the side, and they're like, there's ninjas, and they're trying to figure out like who's like funding these ninjas and like this organization that like exists in the shadows. It is incredibly violent, but in like the best, like I'd say like cyberpunk edgerunners, mm-hmm. but without the nudity. Like, there isn't really nudity, but like people are getting beheaded. Like swords, limbs are flying off everywhere. You know, like shit's going down. He has like crazy ninja art shit where he like blows out like black smoke and makes like shit happen. Like, he like made 4 extra like shadow arms on his body and was like fighting with them and shit. But some of these ninjas, these like newer ninjas, are funded by like some tech organization. So they have like these like fucking like Pacific Rim looking like mech metal suit shit that they're wearing and stuff that gives them like extra powers and stuff. So he's like fighting against these guys and he's more like an old school ninja. And these are like the new gen cyberpunk fucking chromed out chum fucking ninjas and stuff that he's fighting. But it's it reminds me a lot of like, I don't know, like your typical, like it reminds me a lot of like old school anime, like 90s, like Ninja Scroll, Cowboy Bebop, like style of just like, here's the loose plot of like shit, but shit's getting like fucked up style of like anime, but yeah, with like new art style type like laid over it.
Hmm. If only I had HBO, I'd be more in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to check to see if my HBO Max subscription is current.
Might be time to sail the seas, if you know what I'm saying.
The last thing I did watch, dude, this is also on HBO, and it just came out. There's only two episodes out, and I want to say a new episode comes out tonight. Like, I think one episode is coming out like each night this week, is Quiet on Set, and it is a documentary about Nickelodeon in the 90s and like all the like bad shit that happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, apparently the dude that ran that thing was a complete monster.
Like, yes, Dan Schneider is his name, and he is known for such hit Nickelodeon shows as All That, the Amanda Bynes Show was like his like first, like he was an executive producer on All That. He created the Amanda Bynes Show, but he also was like producer on Kenan and Kel, iCarly, Drake and Josh, like a lot of the big like live action shit that like made Nickelodeon a fuck ton of money. He was behind, and he was like their golden child that like made all this. And I feel like because he was making Nickelodeon a lot of money, like he got away with a lot of shit that he probably shouldn't have. And dude, it's fucking crazy, like this document, like it's especially they show, because they bring people like cast members and production people from like All That and stuff, and they're interviewing them, and some of these people, they're telling their experiences and stuff about like behind the scenes, like people who are like writers on the Amanda Bynes Show talking about like how like sexist like Dan Schneider was to them. Apparently like two of the women writers on the Amanda Bynes Show, it turned out essentially they worked together and they were like a duo. Like he's like, oh, you're like duo writers doing whatever. Well, come to find, they ended up finding out later on that they were duo writers because they were being paid. They took the salary of one writer, split it in two, and gave it to them. And oh, they geez. Found out when like the actor writer guild, whatever, like contacted them, and they were like explained what was happening, and they're like, no, that's not normal. Like, that's not how this industry works. And then he found out that they were contacted by them. He's like, are you trying to like destroy Nickelodeon from like the inside? He's like, I will fucking wreck you, and you will never work at Nickelodeon again if you try to go against me right now. And like some wild shit happened. And watching some of the clips from like All That and stuff, a lot of that like some of that stuff did not age well, and it's like, dude, I don't know how that got passed through, and I feel like by today's standards, like there's no fucking way in hell like some of this stuff would have happened. Like one of the things was like one of the like token black kids on All That, one of the like skits was he like was running, he like ran up to like Frankie Muniz and was like trying to like sell him Girl Scout cookies, but the way he was doing it, he was essentially acting like a shady crack dealer.
Oh, jeez.
And he's like, you want to buy some Girl Scout cookies? And Frankie Muniz is like, but you're not a girl. And he's like, shh, like, you know, like whatever. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, dude, and even the dude's mom, because apparently with the child actors and stuff, like one of the rules are like when they're filming whatever, they have to have a parent or guardian with them like on set the entire time, like while it's at. And even the dude's mom was like, dude, they made my son like a crack dealer, like the one black kid on this show, and selling cookies to some white kid, and she questioned it and did whatever, but didn't say anything or like really want to do anything because she didn't want to like impact her son's like chances on the show or like do whatever. So they just kind of like let this shit slide, and that's like a lot of the stories and shit. That's like really sad that you see in the thing where the mom's like, oh yeah, you know, this like PA person on the show like was emailing my daughter and whatever, and she's like made a friend on set, and you know, he was like in the industry type thing, and you know, he seemed super nice, and then he sent her an email of a picture of him masturbating saying he's thinking of her, and was arrested, and like I let my like 9-year-old child like be exposed to this pedophile for like money, and like never told the cops or anything because I didn't want like the backlash to like come down on her type situation. So it happened to multiple other people, and then until like an actual lawsuit happened, and then she was contacted because they found evidence at this dude's apartment that like he was doing this shit to her too. And it's just like, dude, and like not one, but like two of people that were like staff members of all that or whatever got arrested for pedophilia within like a year of each other. And it's like, dude, what the fuck? Like, I was surprised that Nickelodeon, like, even like this shit like,
survived as a network, even like, yeah, Jesus, well, yeah,
survived. Or the fact that they didn't try, the people making this documentary, I'm surprised they didn't try suing them or something, like, keep this like under wraps for as long as possible. And maybe they did, because this is like, dude, a lot of this shit is just so vile and like damning against them that it's like, dude, I would never want this shit to surface. No, like some of it's like insane. Like there was like a video thing. It was like because Ariana Grande got her start at Nickelodeon, whatever, on Victorious or whatever fucking show. I had stopped watching by this point, but like they showed some video of like her. It was like her trying to like squeeze juice out of a potato or something. And she's like on a bed, like laying very fucking weird, like two-handed squeezing this potato, like through her mouth, trying to do like, dude, like they knew damn well what they were doing. And this chick's like 13. It's like, dude, what the fuck? It's awful. So bizarre. But the documentary is like really good, and
I'm sure it sounds like one of those awesome things that I'll never watch.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Ugh. Hey, thank you. I think I'm all right.
Ugh. On that note.
Yeah.
Hey, first,
that's Captain, all I've been watching.
first Captain America holds up. Still good, by the way.
It does.
Watch that with
it's
Shannon.
A good one.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a good one. It is funny, though, when at some point during the movie, Shannon goes, some of these effects are starting to show their age. And I'm like, this still looks better than half of the stuff they've released in the last 5 years. You know,
like, it's true.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of it's more practical in like the original, like, you know, Iron Man actually had like a real suit and not like some CG over fucking dissolving mask.
Like Red Skull was an actual like mask.
It yeah.
Like a green hood that they put a mask on later, you know, but yeah. Still solid, still good. We're up to the Avengers now with the kids. So
good.
Excited to get that one going.
That's so good. That one's it takes a while to get going. I'll tell you that much. Like assembling the team, like when they're doing like the squabbling on the first half of the movie, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. dude, get to the battle already. But once they get to New York and like that battle starts, like that whole thing is just epic.
Yeah, from the that's the secret, Cap. I'm always angry. From that moment forward, mm-hmm. you're just locked in. Like let's effing go.
Yep.
All right, but I think, gentlemen, we have a show.
Whoop, so, whoop.
Justin, why don't you take us in for a landing?
You know what, guys? Thank you guys for listening to another episode of That Pixel Life Podcast. You know what? Head on over to Discord. Let me know. Where do you stand in the Pooniverse? Like, what is your favorite movie that they have coming out in the Twisted Childhood universe? And you know what, while you're at it, head on over to Spotify, give your boys a review, let us know how we're doing. And Zach, if Robbie was here, what do you think Robbie would say?
Hey guys, go be great.
And these guys are ruining my childhood. Don't you dare touch my Peter Pan and my Pinocchio. Those are my two favorite movies growing up as a kid.